Good morning, everyone. The Bible reading this morning is from Ephesians 2, 11 to 22. And in the Pew Bible, it's on page 827. Therefore, remember that formerly, you who were Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in his one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put aside death. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We thank God for his word. Let's pray for the speaker today. Dear Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you that through Jesus' blood, we who were far away have been brought near to God, who is now our peace. We pray for Owen this morning as he brings today's sermon and brings us closer to knowing your word in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today, and we thank you that we are one with you. Amen.
Thanks very much, Heather. I really appreciate that. Heather and John actually came to visit us in Japan, which was a pretty special thing. It's been a great service this morning. I've really enjoyed every aspect of it. Alan, for a young guy, you show great potential up there on the guitar. I think you got a real future in that, so well done. Really enjoyed the music. It was great having our Persian boy band plus one. You guys did an awesome job, and just special to hear our worship sung in another language. And hearing Julie and Sarah sing in Japanese was really something quite emotional for me. I know Calvin was excited when Jason talked about being able to speak and worship in every language, and so he's still going to be able to use a bogan even in heaven. So. That's great. I'm really thrilled for you, mate. That's fine. Okay. I want to look at this passage in Ephesians, and I've called this message "Aliens to Citizens." And on the first slide, we'll see a bit of a picture of the contrast in that from going from aliens to being citizens. And the book of Ephesians was written by Paul from prison, probably in Rome. Around AD 54 to 57. And Ephesus was the most important city in Asia Minor, which is now Turkey. the country, not the meat. It's a major commercial centre, and it's the intersection of major trade routes. And it was famous for a temple to the goddess Diana. And the book doesn't address a particular problem, but we've been tracking through it in this series, and there's some wonderful teaching. Paul had visited briefly on his second journey, but he was hurrying through to Jerusalem. And on his next visit, he stayed about 3 years, which is a fair commitment. And a guy called Apollos had been active in his absence, but he'd moved on to Corinth. And Paul left after an uproar created by the silversmiths. They made money making idols, which Paul preached against. So Paul was bad for business. We see this on a few occasions where Christ's followers are ran out of town because they're preaching things that run counter to the interests of other people in the town. On Saturday, I'm heading to the US. I've got some meetings over there. I was initially going for some meetings in a place called Oceanside out of San Diego. And one of our partners, Crossworld, said it'd be great if you could visit us in Kansas City. And I thought, well, it's all in America, so sure, I added a flight to Kansas City. I didn't actually check the map till later. Kansas City's a long way from San Diego. So I'll be travelling for a little while to get there. And then on the way out, I'm actually going to stop and have Thanksgiving with my daughter, Rachel, and son-in-law, Sam, in Seattle. So I'm looking forward to that. And I fly into an airport called SeaTac, which is Seattle Tacoma Airport. And I heard of a helicopter pilot in Seattle who was flying when suddenly he lost all of his electronic instrumentation. And it was actually quite a cloudy, foggy day, and so visibility was terrible. All he had was a manual map. But his problem was he needed to know where he was at that point so he could plot a course to the airport. And he saw a big building, and he dropped down in the helicopter and held out a handwritten note that said, "Where am I?" And he could see people in the office building writing, and they held something up to the window, and he was thankful, and it said, "You're in a helicopter." And the pilot just waved and automatically flew and landed at Seattle Tacoma Airport. And his co-pilot was bewildered by this and said, how did you know where we were and how to get to the airport? And he said, oh, I knew straight away it was the Microsoft building because their answer was technically correct but practically useless. Now, we all have different needs. This guy had a need to find his way to the airport. But Paul outlines a much bigger problem here. And I really want to look at three things in this message. First, our problem. Secondly, the solution. And thirdly, the result. And the problem is pretty clear in verses 11 and 12. And it's pretty daunting problem. We're separated from Christ. We have no citizenship. We're outside the covenant of the promise. No hope, no God. That's a pretty bleak picture. We're like those aliens. We're outsiders. In Japanese, the word is gaijin, which literally translates to alien or outside person. And looking at the next slide, you may not know this, but I am an alien. So that's my certificate of alien registration, which I had to carry around in Japan. And when I go to the airport, I'd line up on the alien line. I had to carry my alien registration card wherever I went. And I was often pointed at, mainly by children, and they'd say, "Gaijin, gaijin," or "foreigner, foreigner." And most of the time I was good with that. Every now and then I wanted to say a few words back to them, but I managed to restrain myself. But it's a strange feeling to be an outsider. It actually was bizarre to me when I came back to Australia and people weren't pointing and staring. I actually felt a little bit disappointed. But that's the problem that's outlined here. We're outsiders. We're aliens. And in many countries, Japan and many others, people really feel that lack of hope. They feel that desperateness, that problem. In Japan, there's about 30,000 suicides a year, 30,000. Many of them are people jumping in front of trains. And many times my train's been delayed because of people jumping in front of it, which is tragic. We had somebody jump off a building next to where we lived in Kobe because they hadn't done their summer homework and school was about to start again. Just lacking hope. At the next slide, there's some Japanese orphans. So one real privilege for us was to work with this orphanage in Tokyo. And we used to go and volunteer there. And they were shocked that someone would volunteer to help at an orphanage. In Japan, the orphans don't really rate much attention. And then we gave them money for medicine. And they were shocked by that as well. Why would somebody want to give money for medicine? We also raised some money. We found out the kids never got a birthday cake. The orphanage didn't have the money. And so we raised money so the kids could have a birthday cake on their birthdays. And again, they were shocked because they felt like such outsiders. We had a church in Australia offer to send clothes. And I asked the orphanage if they would like some clothes. And they said that would be wonderful. And they were shocked again that they were new clothes. It's like, who would give new clothes to an orphan? That doesn't make sense. They really felt that they were outsiders. And looking at the next slide is in Myanmar, where we have work in a place called Tanji in central Myanmar in the Shan state. And we work with a people group called the Pa'o. They live in pretty remote villages. Some of them are opium farmers, others that are just really poor. And a believer in one of these Pa'o villages had heard that a group of kids were going to get sent off to an orphanage in a Buddhist monastery because their parents couldn't afford to keep them there. And they knew that they would get indoctrinated in Buddhism, and also some things went on with kids in those monasteries that weren't great either. And so they said to the local church that our workers went to, could you do anything to help? And so they raised funds from the US to set up a house and to have a teacher to live in with these orphans who were outsiders and who were going to be cast out even of their homes because of poverty. And now a number of these kids have been baptized and follow Christ. Just really exciting. So that's the big problem, is that people are outside of that covenant. They have no God. They have no hope. But we see a solution in verses 13 to 18 through being sealed by the blood of Jesus. In verse 13, it says they were brought near by Jesus' blood. And in verse 14, it says he is our peace. He gives us peace with God, but also peace with each other. And people crave peace in their hearts. We often think of peace as the absence of war, but this is a much deeper and personal thing, peace in our hearts. Looking at the next slide, in verse 14, it says that he destroyed the barrier. And that word literally means a middle wall. It was the term used for the wall separating the court of the Gentiles, the non-Jews, from the temple proper, which only Jews could enter. So the Jews could only go inside that very central court. Gentiles, non-Jews, couldn't go in there. And the wall had an inscription. And the inscription said, no foreigner may enter. So that's pretty clear. But it goes on to say, anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Imagine if Jason put a sign like that on his office. I don't think too many people would be going in there. It's pretty strong. They were clearly outsiders. And that word is familiar to the rabbinic idea of the law as a fence that divides the Jews because they observe the law from other races who don't. And it creates hostility between them. But in verse 16, we're told that Jesus' death actually reconciled Jews and Gentiles to each other and also to God. And this one body is the church. And you mightn't think about this too often, but the church is a special place. We saw some of that this morning as we all gathered together from different tribes to worship. Verse 18, it says, through Jesus they have access to the Father. There's no longer a barrier. It's literally like that wall was smashed down. And now they have access to God. You know, Japanese, a common thing when we would invite a Japanese person to come to church was they would say, but I'm a Buddhist. And very clearly in their mind, the fact they're a Buddhist meant they could not enter a Christian building. Like they thought it was bizarre that I was asking them to do that. Not quite that death would ensue, but they thought it was pretty clear that there was a barrier there. But Jesus breaks down that barrier. Sadly, people find solutions to being outsiders in other ways. The next slide shows some of the university students that we worked with at a university called Rikkyo. And that's a bunch of them at the cafe. And at New Year, they would go to the shrine. And those soft little things on the left, they're called omamori. Mamoru means protection. And it was like a good luck charm that they'd keep with them at all times. One of them was telling me about them and they pulled one out of their bag. They believed that it gave them protection. And then in the middle there, it's something called Emma, or a wooden placard, and they write their wishes on it and put it on the temple. You know, they wish for a new job, they wish to find a partner, they wish for good health, and they would hang it up at the temple. And on the other end, those pieces of paper are called omikuji. It's their fortune for the year. If it's good, you keep the strip of paper. If it's bad, you tie it on a tree or something at the temple and hope that it'll go away. On the next slide, you'll see the Shwedagon Pagoda in Yangon. It's an amazing structure, massive. It's about 100 metres tall. And I was able to go and visit it. And the main stupa is covered in the equivalent of 22,000 gold bars. And the whole temple has anywhere between 9 and 60 tons of gold. And a few years ago, the government said that they wanted to add extra gold to the temple. And they had poor Burmese lining up outside the temple with little trinkets and jewellery and money to contribute gold for this temple. Because they believed the solution to being in with God was works. They thought they'd gain spiritual favour by that. But God's solution was very different to bringing gold or to good luck charms. It says in verse 13 that it's Christ, that we were brought near by his blood. We were reconciled to God. In the next slide, that's something called a hanko or a seal. It's like a stamp. So that's actually got my name on it. And I had to get that seal registered at government offices. And then whenever I'd go to a bank or a legal document, sign a contract, a lease, I would stamp it with that. And it was like my signature. Like if you got hold of that, you could sign up a whole lot of legal documents in my name. So they would be kept in company safes and so on because they were pretty important. That seal would change a document from an ordinary piece of paper to a legally binding document. And in the same way, Jesus' blood changes our status from sinners outside the promise to children of God. And we're reconciled to God, but also to each other. And we see the result of being citizens in verses 19 to 22. Verse 19 refers to foreigners and outsiders. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household. The first word, foreigners, applies to short-term transients, people that are just passing through. And the second applies to a licensed sojourner. So they're still an outsider, but they pay a tax which allows them to live there, but they don't really have any rights. But now they're part of God's household. Their status has changed dramatically. They go from a stranger or a foreigner to fellow citizens, members of God's household. They have God living in them by his Spirit, and they're part of a church, part of the church family. I love the church. My ministry is actually seeing it planted and reproduced throughout the Asia Pacific. In the next slide, Annie was talking about growing up in Taiwan. This is actually a Filipino church in Taiwan. It's called the Logos Filipino Church. And I had the privilege to go there at their anniversary. That's a picture of me with their pastor. And I was the only Caucasian person out of 600 people in that big hall. And yet I felt very welcomed. I felt very part of the family. I couldn't understand everything that was going on, but I had this bond in Christ. This church, within 15 years, they're now in 14 countries. And in Taiwan, there's six churches of about 600 people total. Just fantastic to see the church grow and reach out to others. The next slide is a church in Papua. I was so much of an outsider in Papua that when I landed in this city called Merauke on the southern tip of Indonesian Papua, as I got off the plane, Papuans were asking to take photos with me because they hadn't seen a Caucasian. It was kind of a bizarre experience. I sort of had a little taste of what Bono must feel like when he lands. I was going to burst into song, but I decided that probably wasn't a good idea. But again, I felt like I was part of the family. Even across a language barrier, there was that sense of unity. There was a sense that they were worshipping the same God that I was. And their lives, very different from mine, had been transformed because of Jesus. And you may be different to others here, but we're one family. We're God's children. And we're called to a purpose, to be his light in the world. In the Asia Pacific, we're seeking to partner with Asian believers to see the gospel go out. And we have the opportunity here as the church to be part of God's message of hope. And one of the big things for us to think about is, how do we communicate this hope? We need to seek to show and to share God's love. And even seeing things like this, the gifts for Baptist care, I mean, they're powerful, tangible symbols that the church cares for people. We need to become aware of the needs of those around us and seek to meet those needs. And as you do, God will give you the opportunity to build relationships with those around you. And people have a lot of needs. Belonging, being part of a community, is a big one. And then there's specific needs. The playgroup, people want to have opportunities to interact with other parents and to have things on for their kids. So things like the playgroup meets that. Basketball gives people an outlet to play sport, to be part of a community. But as part of that, they get to hear Jesus and his love. I want to finish with a story from Japan, from Tohoku, which is where the tsunami struck. And I had the privilege to go up there soon after the tsunami. 30,000 people were wiped out by that tsunami. And I stood by the coast, pretty close to the beach. There was a strip of about a kilometre, as far as the eye could see, in either direction. Just devastation. Still, it's like it's burnt into my memory. Just very powerful thing to see. And this Mrs. Sudo, the lady in the picture, she's now a Christian. Her husband next to her was out to sea in a boat, so she was there on her own. And he'd always told them if there was an earthquake, there'd be a tsunami too. A lot of people weren't really aware of that. And so they immediately headed for the hills after the quake, and that literally saved their lives. Their village was completely underwater. And this lady's son-in-law and friend went out in the water with tractor inner tubes, and they rescued 28 people. One was a young lady whose head was above the water, but they couldn't pull her up. She was stuck. Something was holding her down. She and her grandfather had been driving, when the tsunami hit, and he managed to kick the car door open and haul his granddaughter out by her jacket collar and hold her up above the water. And he actually died holding his beloved granddaughter's head above the surge. And even in death, he was still holding her above the water. And the young man had to pry back the grandfather's fingers one at a time to release her. She was saved by his sacrifice, by his love. And after the tsunami, we saw the church globally reach out to the Japanese with love, and it had a powerful impact. You know, God unites us under him. We're one people, one body, because of sacrifice. And we see this after many crisis situations, either on a big scale or on a small scale in individual lives, that there's an open door for the church. But the end of the story isn't food, it isn't clothing, it isn't shelter. It's God's love, which God has built us as a church across many nations to share. He wants others to join his family. So in conclusion, just with that last slide there, we all face that same problem. We're separated from God without Jesus. We're aliens without hope. That's people at a citizenship ceremony from different nations, very excitedly holding up their citizenship of Australia. But we have a more important citizenship, citizenship of heaven, because of Jesus' death on the cross. His blood can reconcile us to God and make us friends with him. And then we go from being aliens to citizens of heaven. You can go from being hopeless to having hope, from being an outsider to belonging. And once you know that hope, as a church, as a body of believers across nations, we need to share it with others, both near and far. We have the privilege and opportunity to do this as God's family, God's body, the church, both locally and globally. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for your love. Lord, we thank you that in the midst of a situation of being outsiders, of being without hope, of being separated from you, that you sent your son to die for us so that we could be sealed in his blood, so that we could become members of your family. Thank you that we have citizenship in heaven. Lord, thank you that we're united as one global church, Lord, that Unley Park Baptist links up with churches across the world as part of your family. And Lord, thank you for the message that you've given us to share with the nations, with those around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Owen. That's a powerful story to finish with. I'd like to invite whoever's praying in Persian. Annie, could you come, and Julie as well. We're going to finish with some prayers in other languages. I haven't said to these folk that they need to translate it, because I believe that God knows what. Hamid, are you praying? So let's close in prayer.
私たちの愛する天の神様、あなたが私たちをここに集めてくださり、言葉や文化は違いますけれども、共に誠の神様を礼拝する時間を与えてくださり、心より感謝します。イエス様、あなたが私たちを呼んでくださり、招いてくださり、 私たちに救いの御手を差し伸べてくださいました。あなたの、あなたから遠く離れた私たちでしたが、私たちを招いてくださり、あなたの家族に入れてくださったことを感謝します。言葉や文化は違う私たちですけれども、あなたによって救われ、 あなたに愛されていることはみんな同じです。主よ、どうぞ私たちがそのことを覚え、お互いを受け入れ、お互い愛し合うことができますように、そして、この世が 私たちの今日この教会の姿を見てあなたの愛を知ることができますように、どうぞ私たちを用いてください。イエス様のお名前によってお祈りします。アーメン。亲爱的天父，我们感谢你赐给我们一个多元化的教会，我们感谢你在我们这么多的不同当中，我们能够拥有主你的灵，使我们合一，求神你继续保守我们的教会，能够在你合一的灵当中继续的兴旺。奉主耶稣的名祈求祷告，阿门。
پدر آسمانی، نام تو مقدس باد، ازت ممنونیم که همیشه پشت و پناه ما هستی. همه با هم یکی هستیم روی صلیب تو و با هم برابریم. خدا شکرت برای اینکه یگانه پسر خود عیسی مسیح و فرستادی تو برای ما صلح و برابری بیاره و به ما یاد بده که چگونه باید با هم اتحاد داشته باشیم و نام تو را جلال بدیم. ما دعا میکنیم که در سراسر دنیا صلح و دوستی برقرار باشه و جنگ تو کل دنیا تموم بشه. خدا ازت میخوام که صلح و برابری رو بیاری داخل ایران و به مردم ایران و مردم عزیزش برکت بدی و پرشون کنی از روح مقدس خودت تا نام تو را آزادانه جلال بدن. خدا دعا میکنیم که روح مقدس صلح و برابری داخل قلب هامون بیاره و به همدیگه محبت کنیم و نام تو را جلال بدیم. در نام مقدس عیسی مسیح طلبیدم، آمین.